Tuesday night, on this Wednesday night, sorry. It is Wednesday, right? But next week, we're going to be here on Tuesday night. And so we're looking forward to that. Next week, we will be having a Thanksgiving celebration on Tuesday. And we've got some special things planned. There will not be a meal, as we have done in the past. This year, we're going to bypass that. But we will have a time of celebration next Tuesday night, and that will be on November 24th. There will be no service on the 25th, next Wednesday, so we'll be looking forward to that. And several other things do need to just mention quickly. Our music and our media ministries will be having an opportunity for training for those that would be interested helping to run sound or possibly projection or live stream computers. So if you have some technical ability and would like to be a part of that ministry, if you're interested in helping out, these are very important ministries. If you'll see either Brother Greg Long or Brother Sean Forgey, they can help direct you for those trainings. And we're thankful for our music and our media departments. Amen. This Friday, there is a special ladies event for young and younger ladies. How do you like that? Young and younger ladies. And so that I think that covers everybody, all of you ladies. And you're invited to that. There's a sign-up booth, or there has been one in the foyer, if you'll see Sister Long. That's Friday night. And then there's a men's breakfast on Saturday. Looking forward to those events. That will be led by Brother Randy Johnson, if you'll see him, if you have any questions about that. And then church family prayer, Saturday between 6 and 8 p.m. If you can come and spend some time in prayer during that time, this has been a great blessing for our church, and I know that it will be again this weekend. And revival services, we're excited about revival. Brother Gordon Poe will be with us the first two weekends in December. We're looking forward to that. Friday, we'll have service at 7. And then Saturday, the first Saturday, we're going to have a teaching session on Saturday morning for those that are interested. And we're going to start at 9 o'clock. We'll have some kind of breakfast. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll have our teaching session. Brother Poe will be teaching about some very special things. We'll give you the announcement on that coming up soon. And then service on Sunday and Sunday night at 6 p.m. So this will be a new thing that we haven't done in a while, but we're excited about this revival. The second week on that Saturday, we will have a special breakfast meeting and teaching session for our MIT group. So you'll be hearing more about that. But we're looking forward to revival with Brother Pope. And then our Christmas service will be on December the 20th. And there's a special program planned for that with music and some special things for Christmas, and so we're very excited about that. I wonder if you'd stand with me. We are going to go with the word of the Lord, but I would like us to pray for Sister Anna Foster. We did pray for her at the beginning of the service, but she is sick in the hospital there in Texas, and she needs the Lord to touch her. And they've called to ask us to be praying. We have been praying, but I know they posted several things on Facebook, but we want to pray as a church. We want to agree together for healing and rebuke the sickness in her body in Jesus' name and speak life and healing into her lungs, into her body. And I believe that the Lord is able, and we're going to trust the Lord in this, but they need some strength in prayer. And I know they've moved to Texas, but they're still part of us. So let's pray right now. Lord, we reach out to you on behalf of Sister Anna Foster right now in the name of Jesus. You see the need in her body. And Lord, we ask that there would be a miracle in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You are well able. There is nothing that is too hard for you. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch and minister right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We rebuke that sickness in her body, and we speak life and healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are well able. There is nothing that is too hard for you. And I ask that you would send your angels to minister to her in that hospital right now. Help her to feel the strength and the anointing, God, of your presence. We thank you for your power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name that's above every other name, we proclaim it and we speak faith in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. We're going to read from the Word of God. I'm going to do something I don't think I've ever done before. I'm going to read three different passages for our text tonight. We're going to read in Job chapter 14 first, and then we're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then 1 Peter chapter 1. Hopefully they will have that on the screen, or else you'll have to turn fast. But amen. Job chapter 14 and verse 1. It's one scripture. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Man, I want to talk to us tonight about what good people do when bad things happen. What good people do when bad things happen. God bless you. You may be seated. Do you know what the number one question people have about God is? If people were able to ask God any question and know that they would get an answer, do you know what it would be? Why does God allow pain and suffering in the world? Why does God allow bad things to happen? They've done studies, and this has been the number one question that people wish to know about it. Let's look at a short video that has interesting views about why God allows bad things to happen to good people. I don't know that they all had the right answers, but there were some interesting thoughts there. As we read tonight in Job chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Now, it doesn't have anything to do with a woman. But after all, we are all born of a woman. And what he was trying to say is that, you know what, this life is so short. And all of humanity, yes, men and women alike, we all go through trouble. And life is but a few days, days that are full of trouble. We certainly are seeing a world full of trouble right now. Everywhere we look, there's trouble. Mayhem, mistrust, misery, misfortune, manipulation. It's really a mess. And yes, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. We can all easily identify two major messes right now. And the coronavirus, that's a mess. And the election outcome, that's a mess. But you know what? None of us know all about how everything is going to turn out on either one of those. And without God, it is truly a trying time. We are going through a trying time. Can you imagine having to face such fearfulness and such uncertainty without the presence of God in our lives? To have to deal with all of this pressure that life is bringing and having to deal without the touch of Jesus in your life. Can you imagine that? The hopelessness, the darkness, I tell you what, it would be a hopeless situation, but we must understand that we do have Jesus. We've got to remember that tonight. We do have the Holy Ghost, and God, He is on our side. We're not alone in this, but God is able to bring us through. And Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, he says. I have overcome the world. It's God's will that we have peace. Trouble? Yes, that's a certainty in life. Trials and tribulations, yes, they're going to come. But Jesus said, I want you to know some things so that you can have peace in the midst of trouble. He said, this world's going to bring tribulation. There will be many trials. There'll be many sorrows. There will be suffering. But be of good cheer. Take courage, be strong and courageous, because he says, I have overcome the world. So we need to take comfort here tonight that he has overcome. And here's the thing, because Jesus Christ won the victory, that means that we can triumph over trouble. He overcame the prince of this world, and now all power belongs to Jesus, and he has given us power. Power to overcome, power to stand, power to be encouraged in the midst of trouble. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Someone shared an interesting article with me this past week, and this article referenced an essay that had been written by C.S. Lewis on living in an atomic age. This essay was written in 1948, 72 years ago. And it provides some relevant advice for us here today dealing with trouble. In 1948, with the bombs having been dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the fear about atomic energy was very widespread. And those were perilous times. Perilous times. I don't know that we have anyone here tonight that remembers those times, but I've heard the stories, and that extended even for years within our nation. And as we now find ourselves living again in perilous times, we might find some advice in C.S. Lewis's essay that was written over 72 years ago. He wrote to those who were fearful of living in that atomic age, those who wondered how they were going to survive, and he replied that, you know what? We need to simply live as those who had gone on before us have lived. Those who lived throughout the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year. Those who lived in a time of Viking raiders who might possibly land and cut your throat at night and steal everything you owned. Or as those who would live in an age of cancer, of syphilis, of paralysis, and of an age of air raids, and an age of railway and motor vehicle accidents. That's how we should live, as those who have lived that have gone before us, who have dealt with these things of trouble. He said, in other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. He goes on to write that every one of us has already been sentenced to death. He was talking to those in that day that had been sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was ever invented. And he writes further that statistics show that quite a high percentage of people are going to die in rather unpleasant ways. Think about that. Quite a high percentage of people are going to die at some point, in an unpleasant way. And so he says we should not go around whimpering and drawing long faces, because scientists have added one more chance of death in a world where death is not just a chance, but actually it's a certainty. It's kind of relevant for us to consider today. So what about the election? What about that election? I don't know what's going to happen. And the media is full of people that think they know. Facebook and Twitter think they know. In fact, if someone posts or tweets something opposite to what Facebook or Twitter thinks, they put those little disclaimers on. Is anybody tired of seeing that? Right now, nobody knows for sure how all that's going to turn out. They might guess, but just because we don't have the ability to see in the future and say, all this is going to turn out, doesn't mean that there's not someone who does. Amen. Jesus Christ knows. And sometimes we like to be in control, and we like to know what the future says, and what's that unknown. It tends to create stress and anxiety in our lives. But in this, we've got to realize we just simply do not have the knowledge of what's going to happen in the future. So if Joe Biden becomes president, are things going to fall apart? Some have feelings on that. If Kamala Harris takes over as president, will the socialist agenda be implemented? If Donald Trump wins the election, will there be rioting in the streets? I tell you, I don't know all of these things. Are bad things going to happen? Rest assured, trials and tribulation will come. And we are living in perilous times. We don't know how everything is going to turn out. But if we could just get a little clarity in our thinking tonight. Come on, if we can just remember who we are and what we believe. And can we remember who we're serving? Can we remember tonight who our hope is in? Come on, we don't look to men for the answer, but Jesus is the answer. And we don't rely on the media to tell us what the future is going to be. Only God understands the future. But we believe tonight that God is in charge, and that God has a plan, and that he is going to take care of his church. And so if God's going to take care of his church, if there's going to be a church in the end time where there's going to be great revival and an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that's greater than anything the world has ever seen before, then I want to stay right in the middle of the church. I want to be involved in the church. I want to be on fire with the Holy Ghost in the church. I want to be serving in the church. I want to be faithful to the church. I want to be a part of the church, because I know this. I read the Word of God. There is going to be a church in the end time that the Lord is going to return for. So this is where I'm going to be. I don't know what trouble is going to come. I don't know what trials are going to happen, what tribulation is going to occur. But put me in the church, and the church is going to make it. This is no time to abandon the church. I tell you, this is no time to get out of the church. This is no time to backslide. My goodness. Can you imagine backsliding right now and knowing that your soul is not ready for eternity, and knowing that with all the trouble and chaos and turmoil going on, that you are not ready to meet the Lord? I would hate to be in that situation. And so our hopes are not shattered just because trouble comes. The quality of our life is not based on whether bad things happen or not, because troubles will come and bad things are going to happen. But greater than any trouble and more important than any bad thing that comes about, what is our outlook? What is our faith based on? Where do we turn for strength? If we only look to ourselves, then when hard days come, we will have nothing to cling to. But if we will learn to build our lives on the rock of ages, then Jesus Christ is the rock that we cling to when bad things happen. He is the one that we hold to when trials and tribulations happen. Oh, I tell you tonight, we have a hope, and it's not in us. It's not in our strength and ability, but it's in Jesus Christ. Would you just thank the Lord for that right now? So let's examine this a moment tonight. Why does God allow pain and suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? Where did pain and suffering come from? Well, here's the answer. No, God did not create evil and pain and suffering. God created the world, the sun, the moon, and the stars. He created the earth, the grass, the trees, the birds, and the fish, and all of the animals. He created man, and he created woman, and he breathed the breath of life into them. He created it all. We read the story. You can read the story of it all in the book of Genesis, and it says specifically that everything was good. It was good. It couldn't have been made any better. In fact, it was perfect. It was just like God wanted it. He said it is good. However, because God wanted us to live with him and to love him and to be loved by him, he gave us the power of free will. He gave us the power to make decisions and to choose. He wasn't looking for robots to serve him just because they had to. You know, they had those dolls you can buy and you buy for children, and if you, you know, you squeeze them a certain way, or if you press a button or whatever, they'll say, "I love you." You know, so you see little girls caring about their baby doll, and it says, I love you too. But that baby doll doesn't really love them. That baby doll doesn't know anything about it. It's a robot. How many of us would really, really want to have a spouse that was like that doll, that they had no choice, they had no free will, but they were married to us because they had to be, and they loved us because they had to? That's not real love. That's not. You want to love somebody who loves you because they want to love you. They're in love with you. They want to spend time with you. They want to do things that are pleasing to you. And that's how God was. He wanted a people that would love him because we chose to love him, because we wanted to. And so he gave us free will. He gave us the choice. But that also meant the possibility that we could make bad choices. And oh, we did. Oh, we did. However more did we. And sin entered the world. And Romans 5 and 12 tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And because of the choices of mankind and because of our sin, the world is now in a very imperfect state. It's marred by sin. It's full of evil. And the effect is pain and hurt and suffering and bad things that come our way. But here's the thing. God didn't just leave us in this position. He didn't just abandon us here. He didn't just write us off, but he reached for us. Amen. He robed himself in flesh, and he came and dwelt among us here on this earth, and he died for us to make a way of escape for us from sin, so that one day we can be restored to the perfect state that we were once in. Come on, and in the midst of pain and in the midst of suffering, in spite of the bad things that happen in life, God says, hey, I can take all of those difficulties. I can take all of the painful things that sin has caused. I can take all of the troubling things, all of that suffering brought on by the evil of this world. I can take those and I can bring good out of them. And I can use them somehow for good in your life. I can use them to bring blessing. I can use them to develop you into something great. If you'll just bring it to me, if you'll just turn it over to me, I will do something with it. Many times when people ask this, when they say, well, why does God allow bad things to happen? It's not necessarily that they want that intellectual answer that we just gave here about why there's pain and suffering, but it's usually because in that moment, that person is going through something. They're in the middle of a painful situation, and they've just experienced a loss or a hurt or something that they just can't comprehend. And while we might think that, hey, they're just rejecting God, I believe it's really a cry from their soul. That somehow they're in the midst of their trouble, that somehow God would reach to them in that state and would comfort them, and that they would know God is real. And so if we encounter people that ask that question, don't just write them off, but be led of the Spirit. Be led of the Spirit and let God minister through you to their heart and be Jesus to them. Amen. Be the Lord unto them. Be his representation and love them with the love of God, because that's what they really need. That's what they really need. I believe in every man's heart there's a desire to know that there really is a God. There really is a God who loves me, who created me, who made me for a purpose. And my life has meaning. I believe it's there. So be Jesus Christ to them and show them that love. What do people do when bad things happen? Since bad things happen in life, What happens? How do people respond? What do people do when bad things happen? Well, many choose to get mad. And it's a natural response. That's what our flesh wants to do. When we hit our thumb with a hammer, we get mad. I'm not looking at you, Brother Williams. I'm just looking over there. But when someone calls us a name, we get mad. When someone cuts us off in traffic, we get mad. When they got all those little social distancing circles on the floor at Walmart, and somebody doesn't pay attention, and you're trying to obey the rules and wait your turn, and somebody just walks right in and cuts you off, we get mad. Because we haven't been treated right, and we've been taken advantage of, and we've been hurt, and we can lash out in anger. When bad things happen, there are many who choose anger. When they don't get their way, they get an attitude. When things don't go to their liking, they get mad. They get mad at God because they think, well, he's responsible for my hurt. Or they get mad at their parents, or mad at their teachers, or mad at the government. They got to blame somebody. It's certainly not their fault. It's everybody else's fault. And so they become victims instead of victors over their situation. And generally when that happens, they never overcome. They never rise above. They never become better because of their response. Yes, many choose to get mad when bad things happen, and others choose to get even. They turn around and do to others what was done to them. They take out their frustration. They're going to show them. So they go start posting their bitterness on social media. They resort to physical violence. Well, you hurt me, and so I'm gonna hurt you. And while I'm at it, I'm going to hurt you more than you hurt me, so you'll think twice about doing this again. And the chain of anger, it goes on and on because everybody's trying to get even, but the cycle never stops. This is how the world chooses to handle things, bad things when they happen. And that's why we're seeing such chaos and turmoil in our society, because there's so many people walking around with such anger in their hearts, constantly trying to get even with everybody else, amen, to take them down a level so they feel better about themselves. And the devil just sits back and watches it all with glee as our world tries to destroy one another. Bad things are going to happen. It's a part of life. We're going to have bad days along with the good days. Amen. I don't know where it came from, but every once in a while, Sister McCoy has this little saying, and you wake up, you don't feel too great, you got a little headache, and just feel a little off, and I try to complain and get some attention, and I just don't get it. She said, well, Mama said there are going to be days like this. And then she says, Mama said. I don't know if that comes from a song or something, but there's days like that. There's days you wish you could just go crawl back in bed. There's days you don't want to talk to anybody. There's days you don't want to smile. There's days you're glad you're wearing a mask because you don't want them to see that you're not in a good mood. There will be some times of pain along with times of rejoicing. There's going to be bad times along with the good times. The fact is, we can't always control what happens to us, but we can control how we respond to whatever comes our way. And so we've seen what the world does, how the world responds. But what do good people do when bad things happen? Amen. What do people who live for God do when they go through trials? What do children of the King do when they face trouble? What do good people do when bad things happen? Here it is. Are you ready for it? They learn to trust in God. They learn to trust in God. It's not always easy. It's not a natural thing to do. It's not the first response of our flesh, but we learn. And sometimes we have to learn and learn and learn again. Sometimes it's through trial and error, but we learn to trust in God through every situation, through every hardship, through every trial. We learn to trust in God. Amen. We learn that God is going to help us through whatever we face. Proverbs 3:5 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not unto our own understanding. Oh, but I just don't understand it. I don't know why this is happening to me. We're not going to understand everything. Lean not unto your own understanding. That's why we got to trust the Lord. That's why we have to live by faith. That's why we have to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, I tell you, you've got to trust in the Lord, because you can't trust in yourself. You can't trust in me. You can't trust in your neighbor. You can't trust in the government. You've got to trust in Jesus. He's the only one who's faithful. He's the only one who's going to be there for you. You've got to trust in God. Amen. And so what does trusting God in the middle of a trial look like? Because, oh, we can say that. It's so easy to say, well, you just got to trust in God. Just trust in the Lord. But Pastor, you don't realize. I bounced every check last week, and I got more coming through now. You just don't realize. I got a flat tire and don't know what to do. You just don't know my pain. Got kids that are trouble. I got a husband that's trouble. None of you wives are trouble, so. You just don't understand. I tell you what. Yes, we trust in the Lord, but what does that look like? There's a formula that we see throughout the Word of God that it gives instruction time and time again on how to trust in God in the midst of trouble. And when bad things happen and when we're in a trial, are you ready for the formula of how to trust in God? What does that look like? What does that mean? What do we do? It's not found just once, but it's found over and over and over again in the Word of God. Here's the formula for how we trust in God when bad things happen. Rejoicing plus prayer plus thankfulness equals the will of God in our life. Rejoicing plus prayer plus thankfulness equals the will of God in our life. How do we know that? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything, not on the good days only, but in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice evermore. Oh, what about what James said in chapter 1, verses 2 and 4? He said, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then prayer. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. prayer. And then thankfulness, Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Sometimes we come to the Lord and we're praying about everything and we're asking him for this, but sometimes you just got to step back and say, Lord, I thank you, because however you're going to work this out, Lord, I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to give you praise. I thank you for making a way. I thank you for bringing me through. When bad things happen and when trials come our way, when we're faced in trouble, what are we to do? Rejoice and pray and give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, verse 8 through 18 again. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so when trouble is all around us, we have a choice. What will we do? If we will learn to rejoice, if we'll learn to pray, if we'll learn to keep thanking God, then the will of God can come to pass in our lives. That's what good people do when bad things happen. Now, you ready for this? Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman, the steps of a good young person are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and I am now old, he says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What do good people do when bad things are happening all around them? I tell you what we do. We trust in God. We rejoice when there's no reason that, like it seems, to be rejoicing. We pray and we seek the face of God. We thank God. We give thanks in every single thing we go through. And we trust in his will for our lives. I wonder if somebody today, you just stand and just start rejoicing. You just stand and start thanking God for everything you're facing right now. Come on, you say a prayer right now. Lord, let your will be done. Let your will be done in my life. Let your will be done in my family. Let your will be done in this church. Let your will be done in this nation. Let your will be done in this world, oh God. I pray the will of God today, Lord, and I'm going to rejoice no matter what comes my way. I'm going to thank you for it. I'm going to turn to you in prayer, and I'm going to trust your will in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In closing tonight, I'd like us to consider the story of Horatio and Anna Spafford. You just remain standing just for a few moments. In 1873, the Spafford family made plans to travel from Chicago to England, where they were going to help with D.L. Moody's revival meetings there. At the last minute, Horatio was delayed on some last-minute business, but he sent his family on. Before they reached England, their ship was struck by another ship, and it was sunk. And their four daughters died in that accident. His wife was found floating on some wood from the wreckage, unconscious but still alive. She arrived in Wales 9 days later and sent a fateful telegraph to her husband, which said, saved alone. Saved alone. Upon receiving the tragic news, Horatio immediately departed to join his wife. And on the voyage across the ocean, at one point, the ship captain came to Horatio's cabin and notified him that they were now passing over the spot where his children had lost their lives. Receiving this solemn announcement, and while over that precise spot, Horatio did something that those without God could never understand. He took out a pen, and he wrote the well-known hymn, "It is well with my soul." That song has been a comfort to Christians for many generations. You know, sometimes we sing songs without knowing their background, without knowing where they came from. It's a wonderful hymn, but songs like that, they don't happen on the mountaintop. They don't come to us when we've just won the victory. They come to us in the valley. They come to us in a trial, in the midst of trouble. Maybe you're facing some trouble tonight. Maybe you're in the middle of a trial. Maybe everything hasn't gone the way you wished it had. But oh, I wonder tonight, in the middle of the bad, I wonder if we could rejoice that yes, God is still on the throne. I wonder if we could pray and seek His face and seek His will for our lives. And I just wonder tonight if somebody would be crazy enough to thank God in the midst of your trial, that He would order your steps as a good man, as a good woman, as a good young person who has chosen to trust in God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight, and we stand upon its promises. Lord, we proclaim it tonight. We declare it by faith. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I rejoice in the middle of what I'm going through. Lord, I pray that you would make a way, that your will would be done. And Lord, in the middle of this trial, I thank you for it, God, because I know somehow you're working it for good. I know that you've ordered my steps. I know that when I trust in you, you're going to make a way. And I thank you for it tonight. I stand upon your promises and I declare it to be so in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, whatever you're facing, come on, whatever you're going through, whatever trial you're in right now, it could be that God's trying to give you a song. It could be that God's trying to encourage your heart in the middle of this and just tell somebody, hey, just hang on. Just trust in me. Just trust in me. I'm going to bring you through. Your steps are still ordered. I've not forgotten where you're at. I'm not leaving you there by yourself, but I'm going to take you through.